Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, October 28th.
Thank God it's Friday.
Yes, it is. And a rainy one at that.
The best kind.
Aren't we, like, lucky?
I mean, I have socks on with my slide-on sandals. I'm looking real cute today. No, I got my cable-knit Irishman sweater. I am ready for the rain.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to continue, folks. We're going to bring in our guest right away because I have to leave for a couple minutes. And so we'll introduce her so Tori will have someone to talk to and you guys will know
who
she's talking about, right? We're joined by Jennifer Hill. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Woo-hoo! Hi, Sam. Hi, Tori. Thanks so much for having me on. Happy rainy Friday.
Thank you. And Jennifer is a host here. She has a show on our station. We're going to talk all about it. And thank you for coming. I mean, Jennifer's got like so much we're going to talk to her about. She's into the Kabbalah and stuff, you know. So do you know anything about it?
The red string thing?
Red
absolutely.
String.
A red string thing, right?
Demi Moore told us all about it.
Do you know how big part, what a big part it is of Judaism? But reduced it to the red string.
No. Okay. I'm also a stand-up, man. Come on now.
I know, I'm kidding.
No, Madonna and Demi Moore have shown us Kabbalah.
That's true, they
She's
have.
She's the one that really did the red string thing. And then what's
Olsen
his name?
The Olsen twins, too.
The Olsen twins, and then what's his name? Who did she? Ashton Kutcher started wearing the red thing, and we're like, oh, you're involved. Oh,
notice they're all very successful people.
Very incredibly successful. So it's sort of like a mystic type of Judaism, right? The mystics?
So I'm not smart enough to be able to explain it to people.
Good call.
I'm not that wise. But what I will tell you is, since I've been studying it, actually, here's what's really interesting. 2 months after I started studying Kabbalah, about 2 years ago, when my book Stop Hoping, Start Hunting came out, I actually appeared on Conan O'Brien by accident, went viral. I think the video is up to over 800,000 hits.
Wait, what did you do? I want to hear all of this.
I am officially now known, this is totally mortifying, as the audience sex app lady. Not how I wanted to be known, but it went viral and it was great for book sales because I was
of course
it
was of course. So what, you were in the audience? Tell me the story.
Okay, so imagine I'm in the midst of a normal book tour that my PR guy is setting me up for, and my mother-in-law's in town and her niece is in town. I'm like, oh great, I'll take them to a taping of Conan O'Brien for kicks and giggles.
Of course,
right? Why not? And on my way, stopping by my office, one of my guys in my office says, Jen, grab a copy of your book. I'm like, what? But it's not my TV interview. And he says, you never know. And sure enough, I put a copy of the book in there. I thought, how funny would that be if, as a gag, since Conan had just been fired from The Tonight Show, if I put, good luck one day finding your dream job, because that's what my book's about, Love, Jen. So I sign the book, and we sit down in the audience, and we have great seats a couple rows back. And I asked one of the PAs, I said, oh, I brought this book as a gag for Conan. Do you want to give it to him? And the PA said, you know what? Sometimes he's really sweet. He'll come up in the audience after the show. If he comes into the audience,
The book. Okay, that's great. There you go.
Yeah. So about 5 minutes, 55 seconds into his opening monologue, he says, have you heard about that app that teaches men how to orally please their women?
And first of all, what's that app?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to sidetrack.
I know. I should probably know about that app. And I start laughing uproariously. Now, keep in mind, my recruiting company, J. Hill Staffing, works with law firms and corporations very conservatively. And I, all of a sudden, the camera pans to me and I'm laughing at this joke and I flash before my eyes, my whole business collapsing, all of my clients firing me. And I'm like, oh no. And I actually physically tried to cover my face so the camera
hilarious.
Couldn't see me. Well, Conan thought it was hilarious.
Of course, he's going to play with
and
you on this.
He went back and forth with me for a minute and a half. Well, she really wants to talk about this, doesn't she?
No way.
And so it turns into this whole back and forth. Finally, a minute and a half later into the bit, Conan comes up to hug me in the audience. And I'm like, oh, buddy, it is on. And so I was like, hug him with my book on his back.
This is a smart woman.
And I was just like,
and the camera's on it. This is very smart.
She's very smart.
And then Conan goes to me. He's like, she gave me a book. I thought we had a real human connection. And then a minute and a half later, that's a whole other bit. So 3 minutes of Conan's show.
Damn.
Somehow or another, I got into it. Now, I will say I was cyberbullied. It kind of sucked because it went up on Reddit. And one day I got a voicemail on my phone saying, you're a cunt, basically.
Wow.
And they got my phone number because I'm available online. So all in all, it was an awesome experience.
Yeah. But it's these days, you can't have a good experience if it's anywhere viral without having a troll. Yeah. You can't have a good experience without having a bad experience.
You know, I mean, people are just such haters.
Oh,
you know,
the worst.
I went on Instagram for the Candyman that we had the other day, right? Mm-hmm. People are hating him like you wouldn't believe, you know?
I'm sure.
Because people are so envious of him, you know? Whatever it is. But this was like an Australian playboy that was here the other day with his five girlfriends.
You didn't invite me?
No, well, I'm just kidding. I'm happily married.
We didn't even know what he was bringing. But one of them was his wife, 25 years old. And been married for 7 years.
Two kids, and then they had four girlfriends that were also like hitting on him.
25, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they have a certain lifestyle. He's like a playboy, you know. Apparently, he's got money to show for it, too. So when he posts a picture, all the haters on there, you know, and it's like, I can't believe it. I'm like, why would anybody want to have a public life, you know? I mean, so luckily, I don't have haters because I don't have a lot of followers, but... But plus,
know,
I'm nice to people, you know. But once you start being successful and stuff like that, I think people are envious.
Oh, and it's even a little bit of success, like Jen was saying. Like I went when I was hosting at Reels Channel for a TV show. I was talking about movies, and I would go on and discuss things. And I had my own show, Movie Mob and Movie Up. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to read the comments. And this was 2008.
Oh,
so
no.
If trolls were literally just coming out of the embryos, right? I'm like, oh, look, a comment. Put a gun to her head, shoot her. She has to go to the gym. What a stupid Jew. And I was like, well, these aren't what I expected.
Yeah, right?
I'm going to go kill myself.
It's so depressing.
Crazy.
Though,
violent. Like, I literally was talking about some dumb movie, and someone was like, someone put a gun to her head and pulled the trigger.
Really?
And I was like, this angered you so much?
Yeah,
I'm talking about, like, I don't know, Slumdog Millionaire, and you're really that upset about it? So anyway, yeah, trolls are crazy. And I just wonder why they have so much hate and time on their hands.
But look at, too, if you tied them with the election. I was just reading today about more dirty emails and laundry being aired about Hillary and what she did while she was Secretary of State. But if you watch it, it's really one big mudsling match. It's like trolls have all come to the surface.
No, Trump is the biggest troll, not only the way he looks in appearance, but also in the way that he tweets is he's the ultimate troll.
Yeah.
You say one thing against him, he'll cut you down.
Yeah, he's a bully. He's definitely a bully.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though, is that people, I think the reason we're seeing a lot more of this is because social media amplifies everything.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't, these people would be trolls in real life too. It's just that you
don't know
about it.
I don't know. They don't, it's also like seventh graders in their basement with their pimples being really
probably
rude. But I think they don't show in public because they're too afraid, but they have this open environment to
this
go do
forum.
It. This
so.
Forum.
Right, exactly. So
something
they hide
about being
it.
Online. Yeah.
Yeah, they hide it and they hide behind that anonymity and then they can write whatever they want. But you're right. Often it's probably immature young kids.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
It's just so sad.
You just don't know.
No.
Yeah,
don't
and
know,
to this
you know?
Day on Amazon, my book had great reviews, and then some people on Reddit found my book and started writing awful one-star reviews.
Like, who has
book?
The time to and energy to want to do that to someone?
And I don't care, though, because I know of all the people who have read my book, I've changed thousands and thousands of people's lives with the book.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, haters are going to hate. And honestly, even with Trump and Hillary, I meditate every morning, and I send them both unconditional love
so
and light.
So that's interesting. Right. That's really funny. I'm studying Buddhism, and I was listening to Pema, and I was on my walk with my dog, and she said, find someone you don't like and try to give
find
them
one good thing
one
about them.
Or try to give them something. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do Donald Trump. And here, this is honestly what I did. I'm on my walk, and I'm like trying to think of, is there anything I can give him? She goes, give him a relaxation or give this person your favorite memory or whatever. And all I could do was picture giving him good conditioner for his hair.
Oh,
and I was like, because that's important to him. And that's all I had.
Here's what's really fascinating is that I was part of a program that's like a year-long program about looking at every human being having an extraordinary life. Like, what would that take? So if we're all playing this game for every, mind you, every human being to have an extraordinary life, what would it take for you to want Trump to have an extraordinary life? Or to want, we called it our seventh person. Like, who's the person on your list of your top five or six that you would not want to have an extraordinary life?
And then
life?
Try to give it that.
And then go there. Yeah. And it does.
It's not easy, though. And she says, someone raised their hand and said, I have an abusive father. Should I be doing this mind training for that guy? And she said, oh, hell no. She was like, no, do this. Start with someone low. So then I moved away from Donald Trump. She's like, start your training with someone you issues mildly dislike, you know, and then move up from there.
Yeah, and it's interesting, though, too, with the politics. Like, somebody I know is just saying that she's afraid to post anything on social media because she is a Trump person. Mm-hmm.
That's what Sam has been saying. The Trump people are scared, silent, and scared.
Because they're being bullied. Talk about 100%. Trolling and cyberbullying. It sucks. Like, my friend was just saying that if somebody, her Facebook friends, said, if you're a Trump supporter, remove yourself
I've had
my
that.
Friend
I've seen
right
that.
Now.
Yeah, get off
Many
my
Many people
face.
Do that. Yeah. Many people
but
do that.
Why hate? Here's the thing is, like, part of it, it's learning tolerance. My God, we have a black president. We might have our first woman president. How is it we're still in a society where political or different beliefs that we have aren't shared means that we should hate somebody
else? Yeah, because the whole thing about America and with the founding fathers is the debate was the whole part of it. Yeah. I want to be friends with the Republican because I'd like to have a discussion.
Learn their
Exactly. You know, that's Thomas Jefferson and Hamilton who didn't like each other. They still got along. I mean,
Exactly. You're not supposed to hate each other in Congress just because you're on two separate sides.
No, very strange.
I know. But that's what politics has become.
Oh, it's dirty, dirty.
Around the world, too. It's not just here.
No, you've seen fights.
Venezuela.
Yeah, you've seen fights in certain parliaments where people literally break out fighting.
Yeah.
And punches are thrown. Oh, yeah.
I remember growing up in Israel when I was a kid. I remember that. People did not tell other people who they voted for.
Oh, yeah, because it could
they
be
were
dangerous.
Afraid.
Yeah.
They were afraid.
Israel, I mean, that's some tension right there.
Yeah, you know, and that was in the 60s. Exactly. So, you know, it was very backwards and everything, you know. But people were afraid because people were so militant. And that's
what it's become here now. I mean, the same kind of thing.
It's
public shaming, too. I mean, God forbid you're at a dinner party. I was listening to another radio show a couple weeks back, and they said that somebody at the dinner party said they were an avid Trump supporter, and they were kicked out of the dinner party.
Oh,
wow.
Does that really happen?
Which is exactly what liberals are against. Segregation, being bullied. And
that's
then they
the
do the exact thing. Exactly.
Yeah,
they really do.
So, you know, that's why I'm saying this election might actually be a surprise because many people, I think, in the polls are not saying they're voting for Trump. Mm. But maybe someone's just saying they're not voting for Hillary, too. So I don't know. But right now she's leading by what, 10 points, Tori?
Well, the margin of error is 3-5, and she's up about 7 in certain places. I'm hoping she gets double digits just to show that it's above the margin of error.
Right.
We're hoping. We're really hoping. But it is closer than you would like.
Yeah.
You know, people would like. It's an odd thing that he's still in the running.
That's true. Yeah. It is, you know.
I think it's a reflection, though, of the consciousness of humanity. I think that there's so many people who are so tightly wound and just want something to hate or blame for their circumstances.
You know, that's funny because I have a worker that came over last night. We had some wine.
Maybe
too much wine.
No such thing.
She doesn't believe in climate change. She's also 26 and bless her heart, but she's, you know, she's learning. She's evolving and she never reads the newspaper. I read it every day. So we started discussing things and she says, I want Trump because I want someone different. And I was like, that's the thing. He seems like an outsider, and that got a lot of people's attention because it's so corrupt. But you got to find a good outsider. You can't find like
that's
a crazy
true.
Outsider.
It's not like the grass is always greener.
That's right. She said, I just want someone different. And I think that's the basis of a lot of people wanting Trump. They don't want the same, but you got to be careful who you ask for, you know?
Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
That's true. I like your green shirt. You know what just occurred to me? I'll tell
Very
you why
pretty.
I'm digressing.
Yeah.
Because... if she had shown up for a video, I'm like aware of this stuff.
Oh,
now.
The green screen.
We have a green screen in the video. So if you had come in,
I would have
it'd
no
just be
face.
your face and your hands.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Everything else
I have to
floating.
Tell you something about that. The very first TV appearance I ever appeared on, I was 17 years old, and it was an MTV TV show called Web Riot. So I didn't know. I show up for the appearance.
In green.
No worse than that. It was these little pods that were hanging from the ceiling, and the pod kind of covered part of your chest. And I had a tube top
so
on.
So you looked fully naked.
I looked fully naked. So the whole time that was
like, why is that nude girl on?
It's like, look at the nude girl in pod two over there. Oh my God, I was getting reamed the whole show.
Dude, my Daily Show audition, I showed up in a Kelly green, and all they said was my face floating, telling jokes about Elizabeth Warren.
Isn't
and they're like,
funny?
Thank you so much. You shouldn't have worn that color.
It's great.
Good
so,
Daily
yeah,
Show
sometimes
audition.
Sometimes we have to remember to tell people, but it just occurred to me. But it is a nice color on you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll remember
absolutely.
Not to wear it for any of the
Yeah,
live
for any
video.
Of the video shows. But at any rate, so going back, so Trump and you know, I mean, I just think that at this point, we can't really know. I don't think the polls are accurate. But whatever, you know, we'll see. We have less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, and, thank God. Oh
I know,
God.
I can't wait, you know.
I'm going to Europe like a week after that. And part of me is like, I may have to cover my face and pretend I'm Canadian. Either way,
that's
exactly right.
So I studied abroad in Italy in 2003 when Bush declared war, and the second Bush. And they told us to put maple leaf stickers our luggage because they were targeting spitting on dumb Americans.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry about that. And they were like, you don't have to go that far.
What are you talking about?
I was like, how about them hockey players? And they're like, please don't do that.
Just stop. My husband is Canadian.
Oh, that's perfect.
So he literally has like a Canada pin on his hat. And I'm like, honey, you know you've been living in the United States for like 12
Still,
years now.
That's a pride he should not get rid of.
I know.
Justin Trudeau. Who, man? That man is a hot prime minister. Woo.
Okay, I have no idea.
Really? Oh, the prime minister of Canada?
Really?
Oh, hot. So hot. And
yeah,
by accident,
he
was in the park,
handsome.
And they were taking wedding pictures of some couple, and in the background of their shots is a shirtless Justin Trudeau.
No.
And it went viral. Man, I'm a likey.
Happy face.
Totally. Explosion emoji.
I know. What's up with the new balloon emojis? My husband just discovered that, and all of a sudden, I got 7 texts in a row.
So annoying. I don't like
balloons.
It.
The balloons.
Then it's
the fireworks.
The fireworks.
And then I sent something, and it was just like a bouncing ball. I'm like, what is this?
But, you know, I think it has to do with the words you use. Because
you can make it bigger or smaller.
No, because I think when you say happy birthday or something, it does it. And things like
we're
that.
We're both like, oh.
But
okay.
You try to remember what you wrote in your message, and then you probably said something that
but you
that
can also click
that.
It now
yeah, you
for
can
balloons.
Do it
right,
you
yeah.
can send them.
Right.
It's very weird.
But
people.
I just remember when iOS 10 just came out, I'm like, what is this
I
happening
know.
Here? You know, people send me messages and I'm getting the fireworks.
And now there's some vegetable emojis, and one is like a turnip and it looks like a naked lady's legs. It's very
what?
Uncomfortable. People are going crazy.
I heard there's like some new emoji keyboard
yeah,
that just came out.
Imagine us going
yeah,
back to like...
Yeah, that's on the new MacBook.
Wow.
Did you hear about
no.
that? They have like a touch strip on the bottom.
Oh my God.
Like near the keyboard.
Where you can hit emojis.
So you can
it's
eat
so
emojis
weird.
And a lot of different
that,
things.
That like we
yeah.
went back to like hieroglyphics. It's
yeah,
so
right?
weird.
So true.
It's so bizarre that we're like smiley face. We're so right. advanced. And we're like, yay, he's crying.
Yay, clap.
Right.
Thumb
well, we're
up.
Trying to express something in words.
I
you
guess,
know? So
yeah.
that's what I'm saying.
Interesting.
So in pictures, it's easier,
yeah.
I guess, you know.
We've digressed. That it reflects politics. You know,
absolutely.
We've gone backwards.
We've all yeah. gone backwards. I agree.
We've regressed a few thousand years.
Seriously.
True. So we're here joined by Jennifer Hill. She has a show called Get Yourself the Job. It's here on Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific. And we'll get to the show, Jennifer. It just said we have so much time still because we started you from the beginning of the show.
I'm happy.
So
to be
we'll
here.
Get to that, yeah, because
yeah.
there's so much to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We also discovered you're into the Kabbalah and everything. So a lot of people don't know what that is. So go ahead, explain it. I mean, you're involved in it still, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, because I went through it about, I would say, 20 years ago.
It's like a phase a lot of people, I feel like, in... And then
they
move,
go through,
they
but
go through it, but
because
it helps.
it's a spiritual enlightenment
exactly.
or awakening,
exactly.
And people do it with different, not religions, but different ways of thinking,
sure.
different traditions.
Sure.
You know, so you have Buddhism, you have Judaism, all the isms.
I'm a Jubu.
Stuff,
a Jubu, I love that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, there you go. So, are you Jewish, Jennifer?
No, my father-in-law, actually, it was just the anniversary of his passing. And this is something interesting, too, is for me, death isn't sad. I have zero sadness around death. Part of that is my Kabbalistic studies, some of the Buddhist studies I've done.
I was going to say, Buddhism, you don't die, you just keep coming back.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's all energy. But I will tell you, what gave me complete peace and happiness around death is a book called Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss. Anybody out there listening, I buy it for every friend who's
wow.
lost a loved one. I have zero sadness. So if you were to tell me right now anybody passed away, it didn't matter who it was, I'd say, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Because from my perspective, this is the place where it's like the playground. We come down here. This is the schoolyard. We choose our parents. We choose the obstacles we're going to face. And it's for the greater unfoldment of our soul. So any obstacle I'm currently faced with, I get it's a choice I made so that I could have the greater unfoldment of my soul. And there's a great other book I've been reading lately called The Adventures of the Soul. And my husband's brilliant. He's very much based on science. And so he's always asking me 100 million questions. Like, for example, creationism. He said, well, okay, theoretically, whether you believe in Judaism or Kabbalism or the Bible, supposedly the universe was created about 6,000 years ago, hypothetically. That isn't in line with carbon dating. So one day my husband is grilling my Kabbalistic teacher and is like, well, how do you explain this? And how do you explain that? And he actually came up with an explanation for it. He said, okay, imagine that however many millions of years ago that human beings came upon the planet, we didn't have a method to track time. Think of how many millions of years of evolution going back to hieroglyphics and such that it would have actually taken to create a system to track time. So perhaps it was only in the last 6,000 years that we've been able to accurately record time.
Oh, that's an interesting answer. I like
that. Yeah,
my husband's a genius.
Yeah. You know, or the first people that arrived and stuff, and they started believing in gods and all this stuff, and they could have just as easily said, okay, well, this started now.
That's why it seems so. It could be arbitrary in some ways.
Yeah.
You don't know, but people hold to that belief to the.
Or maybe they mean they count years differently in the Bible.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe they mean each year is like 1,000 years or something. I don't know, but the point is, I don't see. I think there's actually a lot more in common for religion and science than there's contradictions. You know, right? And Einstein said, the deeper I get into science, the closer I get to God. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. And no matter what I've studied, here's the fascinating thing for me is I was very religious when I was a young girl by choice. I would go to Catholic church with my grandmother. By choice, I attended Christian youth groups. And then I got really turned off from any sort of spirituality or religion when the people who were in the Christian youth groups that I was in started judging and saying everybody else is horrible and bad and wrong.
You're in the wrong religion if you're hanging on other groups, right? I always feel that way.
And so it really turned me off for about 12 years until I discovered Agape in Los Angeles, which I love, is Michael Beckwith's non-denominational
Michael Beckwith.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
Very good looking, charismatic. Like there's an aura around him.
Yeah.
It
was with Oprah on a thing and I was like, oh man, that guy. Wow,
yeah,
that reverend.
Has this amazing energy. I'm normally always gone on the weekends traveling, but if I'm ever in town, I always stop by and say hi. And so for me, I started studying, you know, Buddhism and Kabbalism. And the more I've studied, here's what I love. It's all about light. It's all about positive energy. So no matter what I've studied and whether I talk to people who are of Christian, Muslim, Jewish, any sort of descent you could imagine, we actually all believe the same thing. So here was my favorite thing. Recently, I was at a networking event and there was a woman there who is Indian, the dot, not the feather.
Mm-hmm, right.
And she was at this event and we were talking about pujas. So there's AMMA, AMMA.org, where you can get pujas done at different parts of the year that are supposed to have good energy.
What's a puja?
So they burn, it's like a special blessing that you have done for you in India.
There's I thought it was food. I was like, I'm interested.
You're like,
now.
I'll
take a pepperoni puja.
Well, a pepperoni puja, that does sound
good. Right?
Although it'd be like dusty. I probably wouldn't want that. But what was fascinating is Rosh Hashanah. So we just celebrated the Jewish New Year and the holidays. And so she said to me, you should really be sure to get a puja done. I think it was like on October 2nd to 3rd through October 11th. And I said, wait a second, that actually correlates to the Jewish holidays and to the Kabbalistic holidays of Rosh Hashanah.
And the 10 days between.
Yeah, so the 10 days between. And I said, wait, do you believe that? And that's a Hindu thing. So here's what was really fascinating is both the Hindus and the Jewish and the Kabbalist all believe that during that 10-day period
there's
your opportunity to draw down light and positive energy.
Right.
It's also interesting in sort of like harvest, right? There's always a harvest religion festival, no matter if you're Christian, pagan, Jewish, the Sukkot. There's always been a fall reaping festival. And people call it different things.
Right.
But and then like Passover. Over and Easter. I mean, things are very intertwined.
They're similar. And that's the interesting thing about human beings is that I notice if we look for the differences, we will find them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look for the similarities, we will find them.
Right.
And it's about seeing one another and the world is good. One of my teachers actually said to me my favorite quote. She said, Jen, if you see a thing as good, it becomes good. If you see a thing as bad, it becomes bad.
Yeah.
Why not choose to see things as good?
Right. No, absolutely.
If you have the choice, why not?
Yeah.
You always have the choice. That's where I would argue with you.
Yeah.
Right, not if. You do. Right.
Yeah. Well, you do. But you see, my view, and haven't learned this in the Kabbalah, is I think we have free choice within a certain framework.
Yes.
So, in other words, you don't have Okay, like for example, they give you the example if you stick your finger in the socket, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, if you stick your finger in the socket, that's a choice that you can make, right?
Right, I've done it.
But once it's in there, you can't make the choice of whether you get electrocuted or not because that's the consequence.
I see.
Right? So we have laws. We have physical laws. We can't, we don't have a choice as far as those goes, go. You know what I'm saying?
There's a framework.
Right. It's not like you have a choice that if you jump from a building, you're not going to die, you know? You don't have that choice, but you have the choice whether you jump or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, and that's how you refer to consequences. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's pretty much it because look, I think a God that is so infinitely more intelligent than us would not just make something random. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, there would be like order to it. There'd be a lot of intelligence.
I actually just drew the name this morning in my meditation. So every morning I use the 72 names of God, which are incredible tools from Kabbalah to heal people, heal myself, to create prosperity and happiness. And every morning I draw one of these 72 names out of a bowl. And the one this morning was actually Yud Bet Mem, which is the name for God for order out of chaos. And it just explained that. And I was reading about it this morning that there is absolute order to even the most chaotic things we may encounter in our lives. And if we understand the desire beneath the order, it goes back to what Sam just said about choice and understanding free will. That's the beauty of it is, yes, we're going to choose certain obstacles and people that are going to come in our lives, and we also have the free will to choose whether or not we interact with them. Perfect example, when you are in a job where you have the same bad boss over and over or the same bad relationship, you have the choice to leave that person or to confront whatever it is that irks you or drives you mad about that person.
So you mean literally confront?
Literally confront, rather than just, we tend to abandon or run away from things that, oh, I don't want to deal with this problem, this situation, this relationship. And what happens? 3 months,
it comes
months,
again.
It comes again.
You see
again.
The same pattern. Yeah. Yeah.
Here was my favorite story in Kabbalah that I loved. They said that, imagine that God sends you a letter and the letter says to Sam, da da da, and it's this person you can't stand. And what does Sam do? And Sam sends it back. He says, return to sender, return to God. And Sam is like, I don't want that. So then God's like, oh, he didn't get my message. I'm going to send him 100 more of that same letter until he gets it.
That's Buddhism for you. She says, you will keep encountering the same problems until you learn to deal with it.
Yes.
It will continue to pop up.
Because that's what you have to fix or correct in your soul.
Right.
You know, so, and that, you know, Jennifer also talked about choosing your parents and stuff. A lot of people can't relate to that.
Right.
But let me sort of like give an overview of the Kabbalah because we're talking about it and people don't really know what the hell we're talking about. The other studio. That's probably the 21st guest that Ethan has in the other studio, so they don't know where to go. But at any rate, so the Kabbalah is really the mystical side of Judaism.
Mysticism.
It's very deep. And in fact, until recently or until...
About 20 years ago, 10 or 20 years ago, exactly. Wasn't available to the public.
Yeah, and you know, so then a rabbi came out, what's his name, Berg, right?
Rabbi Berg, yeah, right. Rabbi Huda Berg.
And he started this modern movement, whereas there's the Kabbalah Center, and people, normal people can, regular people can understand the message behind it. But it's always been, and still he's seen as a rebel, because like a rogue warrior type of a thing, because the people that are really deep into it
Orthodox
are saying
Jewish people,
you're supposed to be a male and over 40.
I had a friend of mine who was an Orthodox Jewish woman who was under the age of 30, and I had a set of the 72 names of God cards in my travel
bag. She was probably not into
that. We were all on a trip and she said, oh my God,
how
do you have
out.
That? I mean, in the long run it was really cool because then she was like, oh, I can study this. I didn't know that was something that was allowed. And like Sam just said, it's only been in the last 20 years that this has been made widely available to the public. And it's the biggest principle I would say about Kabbalah that's really interesting is it's about sharing and light. So sometimes you'll come across people, I deal a lot with veterans with Makeovers That Matter and other things, who have PTSD, depression. You deal with mothers with postpartum depression. They say that the quickest way to overcome depression, sadness, what they would call darkness, is to share. The moment you get outside of yourself, and it could be sharing anything. For some of us, some people don't have money, they have time. Some people have kind words that they could share, a smile. And that's the quickest way that you can have prosperity, happiness, everything you want is by sharing. And so when people look at me and they say, how do you travel around the world? How do you have a successful company and podcast? I tell people it's because I study, I meditate, I share, and I do everything I can to contribute to other human beings.
Mm. Yeah. You see, and that's the thing. I think you have a choice, and we were talking about choice, in how you live your life. I went to my parents last night, and they watched the Israeli channel. So there was a segment in the news about laborers, you know, that like the do menial work, mm-hmm. you know, like in a frozen vegetable factory or something. They freeze, their hands freeze, you know, just dealing with the peas and the carrots that are frozen. And so they were talking about a lot of like factories, how it's almost like slavery, you know, mm-hmm. but the wages are minimum and all that stuff. But you know what? It's really hard to watch. But at the same time, you're saying, it's a choice, you know. Some people are born to harder circumstances, there's no doubt. But you have the choice whether to actually look forward and say, I'm going to go and study and I'm going to do something out of myself, you know, right?
I have a great story about that, Sam. So I Uber a lot and I love talking to my Uber drivers about their stories. And one night I was driving back and I had this Uber driver from Uzbekistan who worked in one of those factories. And he was telling me, he said, well, Jennifer, you know, I would work 18 hours a day in a frozen chicken factory.
Wow.
And I would go from the freezing cold where my hands were chilled to the point where I couldn't feel them to the hot of the actual warehouse. And he said, I couldn't put food on the table for my family. And when he moved out of Uzbekistan and moved to Russia, he was discriminated against because he wasn't Russian. And so he made a better life for himself. He moved him and his family here. Now he, at that exact moment, his kids were vacationing in Russia.
Wow.
And now he makes more than enough money to provide for his children.
Wow.
And works half the hours. And to me, I was like tearing up because I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
We always do have choices.
But it's hard when you think of like the Asian kids in the Nike factory in Asia where they don't have a choice. They're put in as like 7, 9, 10 year olds. I mean, it's just
different.
Yeah, that's different. It's true. But there are people in the world that don't unfortunately don't have that choice. But if you do and you don't use it, that's on you.
Here's an interesting thing though that the Kabbalists would say, and again, I hope I'm going to do this justice when I explain it. There are sad things. There are awful things. You know, kids with disabilities, people who lose their sight, are maimed, kids who are put into sex trafficking, which I'm a huge advocate. My goal is to build schools in other parts of the world to prevent that.
Right.
And
or like, you know, like adverse things like a baby dying, right?
Yeah. So,
it's like they have explanations for that.
What if? So here's the interesting thing. In Brian Weiss's book, he empirically validates it. He lost his own son at like 8 weeks old. And Brian Weiss was able to get closure about his son said to him, Dad, I came into this life to pay for a past debt, and that's why I was only here 8 weeks. And you and Mom had actually asked for me to pass away beforehand to help with some past debts you were dealing with. So what if, I'm not saying it's true, that the most abhorrible circumstances we could imagine in life, it's actually that person, who knows, if you do believe in reincarnation or that we've done this before, what if they hurt somebody? What if they maim somebody? And that's their penance, and it's mm-hmm. a choice. And then as you make choices that are filled with light and love and moving forward, then you do have access and the right opportunities will present themselves. I'm not saying that anybody out there who, God forbid, has lost a loved one or anything, that it's, you know, it's something they're a horrible person for doing that. What if, I'm just saying as a hypothetical, it was something that they chose so for the better unfoldment of their soul. And right. I've only come to this conclusion after, you know, 10 years of studying this.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, proposition. I mean, and I think it's hard to ever know, and it's hard to, but I think that's what continually we all question, but it's a very interesting theory.
Just to think about.
Yeah,
it's not that
absolutely.
It's a for sure thing, but it,
yeah, and that's a thing. That's a spiritual thing.
Right.
You can't really prove it,
you
know?
Exactly.
But the thing is, like you said, what if, you know,
right.
and it helps explain certain things. And you know what? Even if it's not true,
if
you believe
it
in
helps.
It,
absolutely.
That's all that matters,
absolutely.
You know? So the thing is if you believe that you come here as a soul to continue to correct yourself and fix yourself
mm-hmm.
and complete that soul, you know, and that's what I'm saying. It's a deep story of the creation and the souls and the light and all that stuff. It's very, very involved. And once you get into that and you understand that, it's easier to understand the other things that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
you're no longer a victim. That's the most interesting thing is, what if we could all be a accountable 100% of the time for even the most god-awful thing that could happen. My husband lost his dad, went in the hospital right when we got married, and then passed away shortly after that. His best friend died at 50. We could sit around and go, oh, we feel so sorry for ourselves, or, oh my gosh, you know, his dad and his friend, their souls were so big and so bright, they just wanted to go back to where they came from because they lived their life purpose.
Exactly.
And so
you
it
know.
Gives me peace and happiness, mm-hmm. as opposed to being a victim of how sad and awful everybody should feel for us because we've lost so many loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, and it helps explain, like, you know how they say only the good die young?
Yeah.
You know, and the point is that it makes sense because if you complete what you came here to do, you can move on to the next. Think about it. The people that suffer from death are the living, not the people that die.
Mm-hmm. So
right?
True.
You're dead, you're gone, blah, blah, blah. But it's the people you leave behind. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're sad. But it doesn't mean it's a sad thing, right? And then in some cultures, they actually celebrate mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right? So there you go, you know. But you have to understand. You have to understand the whole way of how energies work mm-hmm. and so forth. And but it's amazing, you know, just pick up any book on the Kabbalah. It'll give you a background and an overview on what it's about. You know, I mean, there's like emanations from there and things. But I mean, numerology, astrology, reincarnations, they're all part of Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know
Google
what I'm saying?
Search, I highly recommend anybody out there to Google search this thing called the Zohar Project. Zohar is actually, I think it's the name for splendor. And I have little mini Zohars with me at any given time. And I actually study the bigger versions. So, for example, when the horrible hurricanes hit a couple weeks ago on the East Coast, people from Kabbalah centers around the world use Zohar number 18 to visualize a bubble of white light to protect those people.
Wow.
And you can actually hand them out. In fact, in Florida, they haven't had a disastrous hurricane since the early 2000s because people in the Zohar Project went door to door and said, you don't have to do anything with these. Here, just put one of these in your house and it will protect you. And so I do the same thing. I have extras on me or whenever I travel. One time I was going to Cabo and this was a little bit selfish of me because Cabo needed the rain, but my mom was worried about me. She said, honey, there's a hurricane heading straight for Cabo like 3 days before I'm about to go. I said, Mom, don't worry. And she said, what, you're going to generate a bubble of white light to protect Cabo? I said, yes, absolutely. So I used Zohar number 18 and I visualized a bubble of white light to protect Cabo, all its inhabitants. And I just visualized it for about 3 or 4 days until I got there. When I arrived, the locals described it exactly the way I visualized it, that the hurricane curved right around Cabo, didn't even touch it. We didn't get a stitch of rain.
Oh, man.
It was also very selfish because I found out later they needed
the rain.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only that, but to think that only you affected the whole storm was...
Okay. No, but it's if you tap into energy, that's the thing. Look at the people who are most successful. If anybody tunes in and checks out, so on my podcast, Get Yourself the Job, one of my friends, Joey Primiani, and I did an amazing podcast on June 13th. I think it was, on future talking. He future talked his way into lunch with Obama. He future talked his way onto a private shuttle with Richard Branson to the moon. He's on the standby list for that. And so the people I know who are the most wickedly successful, like beyond wildest measures, it's because we do believe that our energy can impact those people around us, as opposed to being at the effect of a hurricane or at the effect of somebody who's a jerk or whatever. I'm in a position where I believe I have the capacity to transform everybody in a positive way, as long as you're using your powers for good and not evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. So, Jennifer Hill, and obviously we have a lot to talk about, but let's cover your show a little bit. You call it a podcast, I call it a radio show.
Okay.
You
potato,
call it tomato, I call it tomato. It's the same thing. But... get yourself the job. So let's get a little bit of background. We didn't even get it to get any background on you. Where are you originally from? Are you from California, from LA?
Yeah, so born and raised in San Diego, the most beautiful place in the world.
Everyone's from San Diego.
Right? And they all say
it's the 18th million person from San Diego. They all love it.
Yeah, I know. Stop moving there, everybody.
Yeah, I know. That's what they all say.
I know. It's gorgeous. So my family's still down in San Diego, and I lived there till I went to college at UC Irvine, and then I wound up moving to LA, and I've been in LA now for about 15 years and I love it. I have a job I love. I own a company called J. Hill Staffing Services and it's a recruiting company for law firms and corporations in Southern California, and I get to wake up every day and do what I love. I have the most amazing team of people, and then a couple years ago I wrote my first book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, A Job Seeker's Guide to Finding Their Dream Job, and that was wildly successful in part thanks to Conan and, and my amazing PR guy. And so I get to help job seekers, and now I get to do the podcast where I get to interview experts experts. I was blown away, you guys. Have you guys heard of Landmark Education?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My friend does Landmark.
So one of my friends, Manal, is actually a Landmark Forum leader. And one day I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, that would be a dream come true because I learned so much from Landmark. What if I could have Manal or another Forum leader on the show? And I think it was on the October 11th show, I had David Cunningham, one of the top Landmark Forum leaders in the world, on the show talking about what it looks like to live an extraordinary life and have the career by design that you create.
Wow.
And so I was so humbled and grateful. Like, every guest I've had on the show has contributed to me in some amazing way, and I can only imagine the value they've generated for all of our 10,000 plus listeners.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, you invite people here on the on the station that are so interesting that may not be on, like, A-list radio and stuff like that, but you still get to get their stories, you know, and they help a lot of people. So so you have a staffing company. How did you roll into that? How did you end up in that?
So how did the interesting thing about how I got into staffing, it was an accident. Talk about the whole victim versus creation thing. I graduated high school when I was 16. I took the GED. I was bored to tears and went straight to college. I have a very short attention span. I'm like, squirrel, squirrel,
squirrel, squirrel. Yeah. Exactly.
And that's why she talks so fast. She has to fit everything in a small period of time.
I love it.
My son is like that too. It's like there's no breaks between them.
I've been working with a vocal coach for years to slow down. And I find when I do public speaking and corporate training, I lose some of the enthusiasm. And so whenever I start a speaking engagement, I tell people there are two things you should know about me. One, I talk very quickly, and two, I can't help myself. So keep up.
And there you go. Don't change. You know, I mean, that's you. You just want to get a lot out, you know.
I'm so enthusiastic. So the funny thing was, so I graduated high school early, went straight to college, and I graduated college early. Well, ironically, when I was in high school, I was taking all advanced placement classes, and I had taken advanced placement European history and passed it.
Well, I took AP Euro.
Yeah.
Totally AP passed.
Really?
Euro. Yeah,
high
girl.
Five.
I took AP chemistry. What the fuck was I doing?
You're insane.
I don't know, but I
WTF.
Passed. WTF, mate. What was that about?
I have no idea. You're insane.
Oh, God.
So long story short, I walk in my class at UC Irvine, and as I walk, I'm like, great. I move up to LA with my boyfriend at the time. And then fast forward, it's about 3 months later, and it was like something out of a bad TV movie. I got a phone call in September. Oops. You didn't graduate. You're missing a class from high school, U.S. History 101, because I had taken AP European History instead.
Ooh.
So it was like something out of a bad movie because I was ready to apply for law school actually go and do the LSATs and all of that. And so they said, you have two options. Option number one is to come back to school for a semester and take the whole class again. I was already living in L.A. That wasn't an option. Or option number two was to take a 2-hour oral exam with the dean of social sciences on a 1,000-page book on U.S. History 101, pass or fail, with no idea what I'm being tested.
Oh, my God.
So, hashtag best thing that ever happened to me in my life, because here's how it all turned out. I took the 2-hour oral exam. I've always been good at memorizing things, and knock on wood, I passed it. I was so lucky. I posted my resume on Monster a couple months later because I couldn't apply to law school because of that year. I got 3 job offers, and one of which was to become a recruiter. And after 3 months of working for another recruiting agency, a legal recruiting agency had a posting, and I called the president up, and I said, I will be the best thing that's ever happened to you. My name is Jennifer Hill, and you're going to hire me.
Whoa.
And I did.
Wow.
And
making the choice.
Yeah.
That's so funny because...
Is that what you did with your future your husband too? I mean, you know,
she created him.
Yeah, she came to him. It's like, you better marry me.
No, I'll tell you that story.
But what's funny is the people yesterday, do you remember the Playboy and all the girlfriends and the wife?
Uh-huh.
He said, ask her how we met. I said, how did you get married to this guy, Playboy?
Yeah.
And she said, I was at a party and I had one focus, and my focus was, I will marry that man whether he likes it or not. Same thing is, this will happen. I don't care how, I will make it happen. And it's that focus that got she's happily married. You know what I mean? It's fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so do you want to hear the story about my husband?
Of course.
So this is really funny. So about, God, we've been together 12 years now. So 12 years ago, New Year's Eve, I went up to Santa Barbara to see one of my best childhood friends. And like many good New Year's Eve start, we pop up in a ball of wine. We're supposed to go out and meet up with some guys. So if you can imagine this, she's a high maintenance hippie. I swear it's not an oxymoron. It was really a thing. So about 3 hours into her getting ready to go out for New Year's, she's still not ready to go out. It's 11:45 at night. And so we're like, screw this. We're opening another bottle of wine. We have a lot to catch up on. So I log into MySpace, and she didn't know what MySpace was. And so I log in to show her one of our mutual best friends' music online pages, and I pass out drunk. I can't hold my liquor. So I'm like fast asleep, dead asleep. But she was still logged into my MySpace, unbeknownst to me. Well, while I was sleeping, she arbitrarily added 100 hot guys as my friend, at his friend, at his friend, at his friend.
Whoa.
So come on around Monday morning, I log into my MySpace, and I kind of had a hot, sexy bikini selfie before that was
sure,
a thing.
Sure, sure, MySpace, Kardashian. Always. Yeah. Gotta put that on.
Before that was a thing. Whoa. And I thought they must have featured my profile, because I had 99 date offers. Like, hey, gorgeous, hey, good looking, let's go out. And I had one email from my husband, the only one I responded to, that said, who the you.
Yeah.
Wow. And I was like, excuse me, I'm the most popular person on MySpace. Who the F are you?
That's right.
And he's like, I'm in technology and I did not add you. So either you're going to give me your number and we're going to become friends, or I'm unfriending you. And I was like, how dare you? And I'm so
love
popular.
This.
And so I was like, whatever, buddy, here's my number. So my record was 8 dates in one day when I was single, because I treated it like recruiting. Well, for me, it was like pass, yes, no, go.
So you went on 8 dates?
8 dates in one day.
In
so
one
the day.
Day
I met my husband, he was my third or fourth date of the day. I left another date that I cut short that was a dinner date.
You're like, you're out, well. You're out.
I'm like, you didn't make the cut.
No,
sorry.
AP, you're out, you failed.
Yeah, and so that night, I used to live off the 90 in Marina Del Rey, and my husband called me, and he's like, oh, this is that Ian guy, the one from MySpace. I'm like, oh yeah, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm stuck in traffic off the 90. I said, oh, I live over there. And he's like, oh, you want to grab a drink? Fourth date of the day.
Fourth date. You're drunk by
hashtag
this point.
Fourth date of the day.
Whoa.
And so I actually meet him for drinks down the street, and I knew he was good for me. And here's the fascinating thing, taking it back full circle to Kabbalah and all of that. I couldn't explain it to you other than the fact that I knew he was good for me. Now, fast forward a couple years later, after I've been dating him, several different spiritual advisors, including Kabbalistic astrologers, have told me he saved my life in several
wow.
past lives.
Wow.
And so he's been
and
awesome.
This is like your soulmate, kind
yeah.
of what they call him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Very cool, man. I mean, so that's how, you know, that's how people meet. You know, everybody's got a story and everything.
And it's always a weird story. It's the fourth date on 8 dates in one day. Like, that's such a weird story, you know?
It is. It's very weird.
But she doesn't,
I can go on to the same
thing.
Oh,
my God.
Day.
I can't even hold my attention. But that's so interesting, because she treated it like a boss. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to recruit my husband. You saw it as a problem. You made a plan of action. You did it really fast. And you did it in one day, but you found it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Be intentional. And that's my TED Talk.
Be intentional, yeah.
My TED Talk I eventually want to do is called Living an Intentional Life. On everything I do, every morning, I already generated my intention for this show. I generate my intention every week, every day.
You're a manifester.
Very cool.
You're a manifester.
Technically, by human design, I'm a projector. So there is something called a human design. And my business coach has explained to me I'm a projector, but I'm very good at manifesting.
Yeah, like, so, you know, The Secret came out and everyone was going crazy. And I'm like, you know, this is Kabbalah from millions of years ago. Like, this is not new. But some people can manifest quite quickly. I have a friend who manifests parking spots.
Oh,
every time. She's like, there is going to be one. It's coming up. It's right there. And I'm like, God dang it. Who are you, wizard?
Oh my God. My husband gets so mad at me. So there's this prayer in Kabbalah called the Anabakwak, which if you want, I can say it, but it's this prayer that you say to draw down light and positive energy. And actually anytime before my show, I always say it at least once to, you know, ask the light to guide me. My husband gets so mad at me because I'll use it for parking spots. And he's like, honey, the angels have better things to do than worry about you getting a damn parking spot. He's like, they're up there like, damn it, that Jennifer Hill is
calling on us again.
Gotta
do it. There's your spot. So
am I a bad person? I don't know.
Just imagine each one of the 7 billion people had angels looking
right.
over them. Come on.
So many busy angels.
Yeah. But at any rate, Jennifer, tell people a couple words about your show, how they can listen and how they can find you, about your business as well. If people want to find a staffing company, how can they get a hold of you?
Fantastic. So again, I have a blog called getyourselfthejob.com that has over 200 articles I've written down that you can find free information on job hunting. My show of the same name, Get Yourself the Job, can be found every Monday at 4 live here on LA Talk Radio.
Mm.
And you can also find it on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job. I think we're up to 10,000 listeners or so a month, which is very exciting.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And of course, you can listen on the website as well. Just find Jennifer on latalkradio.com. You can find all the archives easily, or iTunes, of course, whatever you guys prefer. But at any rate, great show. How long have you been with us already? Since April of 2016. So, wow.
Yeah, it's been
Time flies, right?
And I can't believe it. I'm booked with guests solid through May of next year.
Wow.
So you see, exciting. That's the thing. Once you make it, people find you.
Manifesting.
And manifest.
You know? But at any rate, Jennifer's here to tell us, go and dabble in the Kabbalah a little bit, right?
Yes, go
and
there.
It's good for everyone. You don't have to be Jewish either, right?
No,
and that's what I like that they did with
it.
Yeah,
me too.
It's like they're saying, if you can't read the Hebrew, at least just glance at it.
Yes.
Or
my Buddhist teacher says, if you can only pray with one hand, that's good enough for now.
Yeah, right?
Same thing.
Exactly. That's true, right?
Yeah, if you can't read those, still just
like
do it.
Said.
Exactly.
It's the intention. And that's what a prayer is. I think it's like, it's the intention, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's what they teach.
Yeah, it's the intention and connecting to the light and the positive energy. And there are now two Kabbalah centers in LA, one on Robertson and one on 2nd and Wilshire in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And I know they have a Kabbalah bookstore right here in Woodland Hills. And I think they actually have classes there too,
I think.
That's cool.
I started seeing that.
That.
If you take the 101, you get off on Shoup. As you exit, right off the off-ramp on the right, it's right there. So like Ventura and Shoup. Shoup.
Do you ever
so
say Shoup, Shoup, Shoup? Yeah, when you go on Shoup?
I go on Shoup almost every day.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice little
my
boogie.
My parents live down the street.
A little Shoup-a-Doop.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank
you,
Tori.
Thank you.
You're a lot fascinating.
Of fun. And I've got to admit that, first of all, we had to reschedule you, right? Because I double-booked someone. And then it turned out that we scheduled you for this Friday, and then I double booked someone else for today.
Oh my!
And
gosh.
I said, I'm not telling Jennifer
again
to come another day. She'll kill me.
No, yeah.
And this was, but I want to explain to you. It was someone from the Israeli Sheba Medical Center, and they have some like amazing breakthroughs and stuff. So I told them to call on Monday
because
she can't be here in person on Monday. But I said you'd be here because this is Jennifer's interview.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm so happy.
So
thank
of
you.
Course I can't do it twice. You were so gracious to agree to change it the first time when I did that. So it's just that I rarely double book, but sometimes people like. If they don't give me a final confirmation, I don't put them on the schedule yet, but I should.
Yeah. I have an audition I didn't confirm, and I missed it yesterday because I didn't get a confirmation. And I was like manifesting this freaking confirmation that never happened. And then they go, you were supposed to be there. So it's today. Everyone manifest me getting the part.
All right.
There you go.
Yay.
And everybody have a great weekend. I'm planning on having a wonderful, busy, loving weekend.
Oh.
Awesome.
I see heart bubbles coming out of the eyes.
There you go. And that's it. So everybody, and you going out of town for the, you're going, where
Europe.
Did you say?
So I'm heading.
No, not that, but this weekend.
Oh, the mountains.
You're going to the mountains.
Yeah, I'm going to Lake Arrowhead.
I love just to say I'm going to the mountains.
Yeah.
What mountains? I don't know.
The mountains.
I'm just going to the mountains.
Exactly.
Sounds great.
Exactly.
I will manifest myself up there.
That's right. Manifest destiny.
And we won't tell you when or anything, so you can't stalk
her. I need more followers.
Or she'll manifest you into oblivion.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Tori, as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all on Monday. We forgot to say Happy Halloween. Right?
Yeah.
Happy Halloween. Then there you go. Happy Halloween, everybody.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.